you're known for everything, you're trying to be everything to everybody, and actually you stand for nothing and nobody listens. So we need to build a business model that protects salon profit, but the team wins. So the salon wins, the team wins, everybody gets paid more. If you're already doing 10K a week in revenue or more, you've got a team and you know that they can do more, they can do better, be better, then all you need is... Welcome back to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, are you ready? Are you future ready? Are you ready for what 2026 brings? We want to share with you the 7 queen moves that you must make to be ready to build a salon for 2030, not just for 2026. But 2026 is where it all has to start. So I think we need to accept that the next 5 years is going to bring more change, just like the last 5 years have, and prepare to build adaptability into the business strategy. Like, make the decision this year that you're going to be in that top 10%, which actually means working towards being in the top 1%. Like, the theory goes, shoot for the stars, land on the moon. Right?
So good. It almost reminds me, Riss, of when we were back at school and we were getting picked for the team. And you want to prepare and position yourself, you know, when two people are picking, like, you want to be the first. You want to prepare to be the first person because you're the best netball player or the cricket player. You want to prepare yourself to be that person as we look down the barrel of 2026. So I'm saying prepare, don't react, because the world is not slowing down.
Hey, I was never picked first.
Neither. Unless it was touch rugby, otherwise I was not picked first either. So I know this from experience. I got to do the work. We got to do the work.
So I feel like the first thing that we really need to think about is the attention queen move. Mm. Like, the goal should be to be the business that's in demand.
Yes.
Like, be the flower, not the bee.
Love it.
Otherwise, we're just constantly searching and, you know, desperate need of what's next.
Totally. Makes sense. How do I do it, Riss?
Yeah. Well, good question. So I actually think it starts with really clarifying who you are as a brand and what is the story associated to that. Mm-hmm. And what we do in Salon Mastery is one of the first things that we do is help you identify what is your hero service. Who are you as a brand? Mm-hmm. What do you stand for? Who is your ideal client? What does she care about? Do the two talk to each other? Mm. Like, does your ideal client want what you have to deliver? And then how do you stand out in your marketplace? What makes you the obvious choice for a client? So when she's trying to choose a new service provider because the last one drowned her at the basin or got the service wrong or was just a bit meh, mm. how does she choose? Like, how does she choose you over the salon down the road? And unless you're really clear about that, then you're just not notable.
Yes.
You're not choosable. And so we need to own a signature message in your community so they know that you are known for something. Otherwise, you're just, if you're known for everything, you're trying to be everything to everybody, and actually you stand for nothing and nobody listens.
Yes, so, so true.
So I think, you know, in 2025 and as we look towards 2030, what's really emerging is that the gap is widening. We've been talking about this for a little while now, mm-hmm. and I'm just seeing it come to fruition more and more. And really that gap is, you know, there's two markets that will hold the fort moving forward, and that is those that compete on price mm-hmm. and are at the sort of at the bottom of the market. There are always people that need fast, cheap, and just need the function done. I just need my, you know, I need to wash my face and I need to cut my hair. Like, there is a market for that, and it's a valid market proposition. And on the other side are the 5-star leaders, those that are building a brand for the top end of the market.
Absolutely.
Luxury service, full service for the people that want and are looking for an experience. But there's a gap in the middle.
There's a gap in the middle, absolutely. And I think if you're a large brand, you can afford to, and it would pay for you to go, how do we do this cheaper? How do we do this faster? How do we do this in a way that captures the large volume of the market? And it's kind of like what we would refer to as mass marketing, but that's not you. You're a small business and you can't compete with cheap, fast, high volume. And so what we see the opportunity being is that small businesses like yourself must go to the top of the market. Like, it is the place where you will be rewarded, not to stay in the middle where it's going to become cheaper, faster, and a lot messier as well.
I mean, you could go to the bottom of the market and go cheap and cheerful.
Yeah.
You know, like, it is valid, but we think the top of the market is the place to be. It's not about volume. It is about experience and luxury. So almost like less is more.
Mm.
You charge higher for a very experiential luxury, right? And so the who becomes really important. Like, who is the client that wants that?
Excellent.
And it's not the middle of the market. It's not where the masses are. There's a smaller percentage of those people. But those clients, the five-star clients, they have the money. They value experience. They want a break from otherwise busy lives.
Yes.
And she's really looking for somebody to serve her. Like, who in the marketplace can serve somebody like that?
Absolutely. My life is busy. I have some money that I want to spend, and I want to spend that on experiences that take me away from the chaos of life. And I think, just having spoken to a number of salon owners, but also clients over the years, like, their time inside of your salon is up there with the top five experiences that we have in life, like, just to be cared for and looked after and led. It's so amazing, and we should never lose sight of that.
Yeah. Okay, so I feel like point number two is like the discretionary dollar. Become the five-star client's spend of choice.
Yes.
Right?
So discretionary dollar meaning what's left over?
Well, maybe personal spending choice.
Yes.
You know, like, if you're a five-star client, you are going to spend some money in some experiences for
mm-hmm.
self.
Mm-hmm.
Be one of those.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Yeah. I have choice and I choose you.
Yeah, because if you're going to serve at the top, you need to serve at the top.
Mm.
And I think the health, wellness, and beauty, I actually know the health, wellness, and beauty industry is the future category that is emerging between now and 2030. And so I think there's this opportunity for us to position our salon as part of that health, wellness, and beauty industry that is emerging. Like, that is a category emerging of itself.
Mm.
And be the luxury choice, not just have some luxury add-ons.
Yes.
You know, like, you want to become one of her experiential choices,
mm-hmm.
you know, that fits into the rest of her life.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, integrating those luxurious moments into the services and the experience that you're providing, so that you're worth choosing again and again and again, and worth remembering, and even worth talking about, which will make someone want to come back a lot.
Yeah. And I think it's more than just the experience pieces, you know, like nice cup of tea, good coffee, great environment, all of those things, like the client journey around the physical location. But it's got to be anchored in some commercial reality,
mm-hmm.
like some commercial savviness. Like, we've got to be intentional that great experiences are all good and well and good conversation and get the result that the client actually wants. That's an experience. But it's got to be a commercially savvy experience. And I think we often forget that in the hair and beauty industry, which is a really good segue, I think, to point number three, which is in 2026, to make sure that we can get to 2030,
yes.
We have to design a signature, scalable client journey, like shift from that transactional model to become experience-led.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the key is design one or two hallmark ritual experiences, like, that are anchored to your brand. Like, they can't get it anywhere else.
Mm.
They train the team to deliver it flawlessly. You don't need a whole menu of things, just a couple of key things that make your brand stand out, so you're clear who your brand is, who your ideal client is, and then give her something memorable.
Yes.
And the key to that then is building something that's consistent with documented systems, scripts, training, development plans. Like, it's a ritual.
Yes.
It's just a system. It's a ritual as part of the signature service. Because at the end of the day, we all sell haircuts. We all sell highlights and facials. So what is it that's going to make you different and to stand out as a brand, not just a collection of a bunch of humans inside four walls?
Yes, so good. Many, many years ago, Riss, we used to run overseas an abseil, or for our North Americans, a rappelling experience. And we'd have like 8 abseil guides up there rappelling our clients down an 11th century medieval castle. And it was built on exactly what you're talking about, like all of the rituals and the scripts and the systems. Like, from the moment the client arrived at the top, it was very orchestrated in terms of what we'd say, when we'd say it, the safety management, everything. And it was a good experience because of that foundation. It actually allowed our staff members to then express themselves through that structure, through that system. And I think it then became easy for our staff members to make it an indescribable, amazing experience, because they could then focus on the conversation, how it flowed, the engagement, and for everybody, how they would personalize it so that the client would have a truly incredible experience.
Like, that's one system and process that runs a business. Like, if you don't follow the system and the process as a team member, someone's life is at risk.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, and I think that's a good frame to take into the salon. Like, okay, they're not going to fall down the castle. But if you don't do it right, like, you know, the client's at risk.
Yes.
And then the intangible or the variable is meeting the person, like personalizing it. Are they scared to scale down the wall? Are they scared to have their hair chopped off?
Yes.
And then you need to personalize that experience and make it memorable.
Make it memorable.
The person.
Yeah.
That's how you match or balance 80% system, 20% icing on the cake.
Icing on the cake. And I think, you know, one of the mistakes that we make is we just allow our stylists or therapists to do their own thing. Like, you just personalize everything. But actually having that 80% system is actually what mobilizes the confidence and the clarity. Now I've got all of that in place. Now I can express myself through that. And the client loves it.
Consistency builds a brand, by the way. Do you know, like, if they have the same experience functionally for 80% of their 80% of their experience in the business, then now they're coming to a brand and they get the 20% that's personalized from the human, because I go to Kerry, not Jemima.
Yes.
But actually, if Kerry left, 80% of what I experience is anchored inside these four walls, this brand. We can't afford not to.
Very, very important. The experience queen move.
All right. I want to talk about the fourth queen move, which is building a 12-month plan. I think this is really important because it creates future. What do we know happens? People always leave us when we run out of future. We need to create future. And that's what locks in loyalty, and loyalty locks in revenue. So
nice.
I want to tell you what I mean by that. So if a client leaves when they run out of future, I think the mistake that we make is that when the client sits in the chair or lays in the bed to have the consultation, that we say, hey, what are you booked in for today? What are we doing today? Mm. And everything is about today.
Yes.
And I think that puts our business at risk. And so I think if we started a consultation as, where do you see yourself, your hair, your skin, whatever they're in for? Where do you see yourself in 12 months? Like, what does that look like? Where are you going?
Yes.
Then the client has the opportunity to say, well, in 12 months, I want my hair to be halfway down my bum. I want to have thickness. I want to be blonde, but now I'm black, whatever it may be.
Yes.
And then you can come back to two today. Great. Today we're going to do this. Because it actually takes 12 months to go from black to blonde, probably longer. But anyway, today we're going to do this. And then next time when you come, we'll do that so that in 12 months, you're going to be where you want to be.
It really gets out of the transactional nature of today and into the transformation that finally you're sharing with the client. Like, I can take you from where you are to over there.
Positions you as the expert that can do that. But it also anchors you in their mind 12 months from now. Immediately they've looked forward in 12 months, and there you are sitting there with them in their ideal state, looking the way that they want to look, and you've just planted the future seed. and you have future-proofed that client. So a couple of tools you want to support that with is like build 12-month plans. Memberships are the payment method that goes along with the plan. Let me just get that really clear. The membership is the payment method for a 12-month plan.
Yes.
It's not the membership.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, saying the Visa payment for your dinner is the experience of the dinner. No, it's not. The dinner is the experience when you go out and you just happen to pay by Visa or however you pay.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Maintenance plans. We're doing this transformation today. What is the maintenance plan? Building packages and programs for clients. Like, there's got to be the future of our industry. Because if we are stuck in today's transactional world, we're just not going to last until 2030.
This is where we shift from unpredictable visits, you know, 8 to 14 weeks, to predictable revenue. And I think that's a great shift that so many owners would want to make. We want to become, for our clients, the salon that you kind of can't live without.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear it all the time. Like, we're consumers of this. I mean, I don't have any here, but you know, like, we've got team members that literally, like, they want to go back to and have that experience with that stylist or with that therapist because they really do feel like they can't live without them. They are integrating long-term loyalty, which creates long-term revenue.
One of the most common comments that I get when I get on a strategy call with an owner is, we have peaks and troughs throughout the year. And this is one of the ways to make sure that you are in control of peaks and troughs or minimize them so they're waves rather than peaks and troughs, is that you need to create the future and let people buy into the signature service that you have and that you've got them.
Yes.
So I think, you know, that is probably one of the key queen moves. Actually, all seven are the key queen
they're
moves.
They're all key. Let's talk about number five.
Okay.
The lean and luxe. Queen move. So this is, you know, smaller teams, bigger output. I'm just going to like throw that out there on a big, huge banner. Smaller teams, bigger output. And I think it's about replacing big, messy teams with lean, high-performing ones. And I'm sure you've got your own examples of that, whether it's in sport or wherever it may be. But Riss, you shared something with our owners in Fiji about raising the standards. And I wonder if you could speak to that a little bit within the context of what we call lean and luxe.
So the average revenue of a stylist or a therapist in terms of revenue they bring into the business in 2025 was $2,500 a week.
That's the average.
That's the average.
Okay.
That's the average. It is so outdated. It's actually scary. When I did the research and I found that out, I thought, hang on a minute. When I left my salon 6 months out of my apprenticeship to open my salon, God knows what I was thinking, but I did it anyway, thankfully. I was bringing into the business, guess what?
Don't tell me.
$2,500.
No way.
So I opened my salon in 1992.
Get out of here.
And that was October 1992. So throughout 1992 up until October, I was doing $2,500 for the salon that I worked in. I feel like there's a problem here.
There's a huge problem. Performance has stalled.
Performance has stalled. We haven't raised our prices. We haven't led our team to be commercially savvy. And until COVID, clients didn't really appreciate what we did for them. And so the old model was, if I want to grow my business, I just need more people.
Yeah.
And Jemima is fully booked. She's doing $2,500 a week. She doesn't really reach her target, but she's fully booked. I just have to get another person.
Yeah, we'll leave her. We'll focus on someone else.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is the outdated mistake. Like, we can no longer have large teams to generate revenue. And I know a lot of people say to me, yeah, Larissa, I'm just really not interested in building a large team because in their mind it equals more pain.
Yeah, more people problems.
To manage more problems. Yeah. More people, more problems.
We get it.
Yeah.
So,
And so then the thinking is, I'm just going to stay small. The problem with that is that we have small thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to have a small business and I'll be happy with a small pay to have small pain. And I think we have an opportunity to do that differently. Small team, yes. And not because we want to have small pain, but because we have an opportunity to have a small team who are really high earners.
Mm.
So we can keep margins high and we can develop our people through the Lean and Luxe system to become high performers. Like in 2026, moving into 2030, we need our team members to be doing 5, 6, and 7K each in revenue, because not only does that create better margins or just margins, because too many businesses don't have any profit margin, create a profit margin for the business, but we can create good margins for the business, win for the business, while paying our people really, really well. So if you're stressed about paying your people more, it's because they're not bringing in enough revenue, you can't pay them more.
Yeah.
So we need to build a business model that protects sell on profit, but the team wins. So the salon wins, the team wins, everybody gets paid more.
Yes.
That's how you build a profitable salon. We have a mission in Salon Mastery to help salon owners pay their teams 100K a year. Like, that's a queen move.
And who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want that? I want to pay my people really, really well. And so my challenge to you and to our owners is build your first 7K stylist. Mm-hmm. Like, we've got to raise the standard from 2.5K.
Yes.
It's way outdated. And it's easy to do once we know how. We just need to coach on behaviors, give them the scripts and the tools, track performance so we can say what works and what doesn't work, and actually just eliminate the low performance culture, because it's holding our margins back, which means it's holding our business back, which means it's holding us back.
Yeah.
Should I go on?
No. It's so good. It's reinforcing that it can be better. And simply by, because you did this in Fiji, and I think the experience for the owners there was like, oh, wow.
Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though. If you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do, well, don't worry. I've got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call. We'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode.
So Larissa just raised the bar. We can raise the bar. And all of a sudden, like, we've had the feedback. It's like, all of a sudden, the team members are raising the bar. And now you can show them how to earn 100K. We show our owners how to do that. They show their staff how to do that. And it's win-win-win. It's win for the team member because they're earning more. It's win for the owner because they just showed them how. But it's win for the business too. Now they're running a lean and luxe profitable model. So good.
Yeah, you can develop your team for the long term. Like, if they can look into their future and see that your business will provide that. Did you see that reel that one of our owners did just recently? And she recorded calling her team member saying, hey, babe, you just got a massive pay packet. If you did that consistently, you'd be on 140K. Like, that is worth celebrating. You no one's going to leave to go and rent a chair or go into a suite. So we need to develop our team for the long term, and we develop that by creating real career pathways. And you only need one to start. You only need one stylist or therapist at 5, 6, or 7K to show the people that there is the way.
Yes.
And then you can take care of the journey of the client because it becomes more than just a transaction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
So I think that's the role for us as a CEO, like the CEO of a business, is create future not only for our team but also for our clients.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We often think this idea of paying our people more is inherently, I can't afford to do that. I can't even pay myself.
True.
And then we go, oh, maybe I could raise my prices. No, no, I shouldn't do that because it will scare my clients away. But actually, not raising your prices, not playing the lean and lux game, it will actually slowly kill your profit and actually your team's future. And so the real truth is, as you've already said, Riss, is we've got to make sure that your team don't run out of future.
Client, five-star clients actually will judge you if you are not, if your pricing is too low.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you won't attract the right client who is prepared to pay the higher price if your pricing is too low. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Nice.
Remember that.
Queen move number six mm-hmm. is the CEO queen move. So stepping out of the client chair or out of the room permanently. I love that. You know, like permanently, like it's a real statement. So can you tell us a little bit more about that queen move, Riss?
It is the most important one. And I think the mistake that we make is that we just love our clients.
Mm.
We do love our clients. But if you're behind the chair, I've got a question for you. If you're serving clients, who is running and growing your business? Like, you need real time on a weekly basis to invest in your team, leadership, planning, strategy. Who is going to help you implement the strategy if you are behind the chair and you don't have the time to do it?
Yes.
Actually, I was on a call just recently, Joel, with an owner who, who was looking for help. And I was seeing if Seller Mastery was right for her. And I said to her, how much time do you have a week to work on the business,
great,
leadership, strategy, great, implementing change, change management? How much time do you have? She had 15 in the team, two little kids. And she said, oh, I really only have 1 to 2 hours a week.
Ooh.
And I said, stop.
With 15 in the team.
I can't help you.
Yeah.
I can't help you unless you're prepared to do something different than you'll always be doing.
Yeah.
And if you're like me, maybe you are, but maybe you aren't. I don't want to compromise my children. I'm mm-hmm, not going to compromise mm-hmm. them. I don't want to compromise the business or my team because I need them to serve the clients. So what's going to give kind of has to be the clients.
Mm.
Like, in that respect, in terms of building a business and having a life, like still staying married and having children.
Yeah.
Like, something's got to give. And for me, it's clients, because you can develop the leadership skills to build the team to serve the clients.
Yeah.
It's really hard from behind the chair to build a leadership team or implement change. And so I think we need to remove ourselves.
Yes, we do.
And some people put up an objection and say, oh, but I love my clients. And I said,
it's my passion.
That's fine.
It's how I started. It's how we got this successful.
If you want to be a stylist or a therapist and serve clients, go and get a freaking job. Be the 100K stylist or therapist.
Yeah.
Don't own a business. But you can't come and say, I love my clients and I want to have a profitable business, but I'm not prepared to actually work and grow my
business. Yes. Yeah. 100%.
So in one of our recent intensives, we did a workshop called the $850 hour, mm-hmm. where we went through the model that actually, if you're going to be on the floor, you should be charging $850 an hour. And how do we delegate the $20 and $30 hour jobs?
Yes.
Like, just do the things that only you can do. Because if you serve clients and you're charging them $100 an hour, then you're actually $750 on the back foot immediately.
Absolutely.
In such terms of opportunity cost.
Yeah. We've got to stop being the bottleneck, don't mm-hmm. we, Riss? And I think a good way to think about bottleneck is if you can imagine, like, there's a bottle and what flows out of it is all good things in your business, from profit to leadership to business growth, all of it.
Wine.
Wine flows out of it. And there's a never-ending amount of goodness that could come out of your business that's in the bottle. But what's stopping it as it tips upside down, what's stopping all of the greatness from flowing is you. You're at the bottleneck and you're stopping the growth. You're stopping the profit. You're stopping the empowered people having incredible futures under your leadership. Stop being the bottleneck.
It's kind of like the marble in the bottle. You tip the bottle upside down and the marble like just blocks it.
Yeah.
I feel like I can speak to that, because every time my business flatlines, it's always me.
Yeah.
It's always me. Mm-hmm. And I've got to think differently, recruit differently, do something differently. And my job is like find out what part of me is the bottleneck right now.
It's a really good philosophy, is it's always me, because it straight away puts you into a proactive mindset. Like, if it's me, I can do something about it. So you are the bottleneck, and stop being the bottleneck.
Stop it. Well, actually, the solution is point number 7.
Yes.
Which
okay.
is the org chart.
The org chart. The org chart is the 7th queen move. So what we want to do is we want to build a team-led business, not an owner-led business. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is the most important thing that you could ever do in your business is create clear roles. Because what comes off clear roles is the ability to mobilize real systems. Mm. And what comes off real systems is the ability, here we go, stick with me here, is the ability for your team to actually grab those systems and own them. And that's actually the shift from owner-led to team-led. So you create real roles that have real systems, and then your team can actually grab that and they can start to lead. It's like we talked about earlier, the 80% system, mm-hmm. and then you add in the 20% of personalization and experience. It has to start with the 80% system. And so what we're talking about here is roles like having a manager, mm-hmm. having a coordinator, an educator, so that those people can step up and step in. And time again, we see it when the owner steps back and they create the role, and then the people, they want to step up because they can see the system, they can develop the confidence, and they can express themselves through that role. Recently, we often share high-performance thinking with our owners. We were talking about when roles are clear, high-performance appears. And so whilst that sounds really, really nice, I guess on the other side of it is if your people are like mildly confused, performance stalls. It really does. And your job is to get out of the way and allow your people to really grow and develop and express themselves. So, you know, I guess the punchline here might be like hire an operations manager, not willy-nilly, like your numbers will always tell you what to do, but maybe there's something there that gets you out of being the firefighter or dealing with the fireballs. And maybe someone else can do that now so that you can truly lead your business, lead the team, but don't rescue them.
I want to speak a little bit to systems, because if you lead the systems and the systems lead the team, then systems become really important. So I've got a simple thing to think about is just like document your first 10 systems.
Mm.
For example, how you do a consultation, how do you do an upgrade? How do we rebook around here? How do we sell home care? Maybe you might document how you do systems, some of those things that you do every single day. Mm. Like a system is not something that is special and different and you have to go out and find. You're already doing them,
mm-hmm.
but you want to find best practice and just document them, and then train your team to those systems so it becomes culture, becomes normal stock standard practice. And I want to make sure, can I just bust a myth here?
Yeah.
Most people I see, so I have to do my systems manual. I have to do my systems. And they're waiting for, you know, 5 days to just go in a hole and write the systems. And I say, stop, don't do that. Please don't do that. That's the mistake. Because if we write the systems and then we say, hey, team, here are the systems, read the manual.
Oh, dear.
One, they're never going to read the manual. And then we go, she read the manual, and we put it in the drawer. And then they come to me and say, person, they're following the systems.
It's like, I wrote it down.
Wrote it down, but it's in the drawer.
Yeah.
So what I suggest you do instead is that you just look at what you're already doing.
Mm.
Refine what you're already doing. Like to speak to the people. Talk to the people. Do a training. Run a workshop.
Absolutely. And provide feedback as well. Like reinforce the things that they're doing well. Like that's one way that the human brain goes, oh, I'll do that again. I'll do that again. Mm-hmm. Because my inspiring CEO just told me that I did the first 10 seconds of that consult flawlessly. I was like, I'm going to do that again for the rest of my life.
Why are you giving the feedback? Just quietly write it down over here.
Yeah, totally.
Develop the system as you go. And then when you've done your first 10 and you've talked to the people and they know what to do, then the last 20% is like, write it down and document it. And then just get everyone, do I write it down right? How we decided we're going to do it? Like co-create it. Don't go in a hole and do it and leave it in a drawer.
Yes.
That's how systems don't stay alive.
Yes, absolutely. And when we have those systems, they actually start to become this incredible thing that we know and is culture. Mm-hmm. You know, often culture can get like the woo-woo, soft, high level, like, oh, yeah.
High fives.
Actually, it's rooted in those systems that represent excellence it's repeatable, and it's freaking leverageable.
Systems and processes shall set you free. So let the systems run the salon, let the team run the systems, and you can focus on growth. That's how you grow a business. That's how you grow a business. So you are not only surviving in business in 2030, but you are thriving, you are profitable, you have a great team. So 2026 will reward the salon owners who choose to lead, who choose to step up, who choose to step up and become that 1%, like aim for the stars, because we'll probably land on the moon. Not the ones that sit in the treatment room or behind the chair, just hoping things that magically will change. So these are the queen moves that you need to do. They're not ideas. These are actually decisions. So my invitation to you is to decide.
Yeah.
So if you want support implementing these decisions to build high-performing teams, to build 12-month client plans, to install Lean and Lux, the model, get your first 7K stylist, your CEO systems. This is exactly what we do inside of Salon Mastery. So if you're listening and you're thinking, I think I'd like to step up in 2026 so I can be thriving in 2030. So you can be thriving in 2026. So let us help you build the systems that actually work, because now's the time. So if you're already doing 10K a week in revenue or more, you've got a team and you know that they can do more, they can do better, be better, then all you need is the systems. All you need is a shot in the arm of leadership, strategy. And I'm going to leave the link in the show notes of this episode. Actually, you can just find it anywhere on the Dub, on the socials. It's everywhere. You're very welcome to book a strategy call. We only work with 5 salon owners at a time. So let's make 2026 the year that you build your salon that you were always meant to lead, not the one that you've been stuck inside until now. So that is a wrap. Till next week. Ciao for now. Thanks, Joel.